evening. Most of you are all there. It's good. None of you are on the left side, so I don't have to like make sure I'm looking over there, right? It's good. Makes it a little easier. It's been a little bit of time since I've been here. What we're going to do, as you know, we've mostly been doing Zoom meetings with missionaries and tried to get the Hydes for one Sunday night, and they won't be joining us until September. And then I also tried the Morgans, and they will be with us in August. They both said, the Morgans were like, hey, we have company coming, so we can't do July. And the Hydes were still getting used to having a newborn baby in their home. And we'll be praying for them, because we're going to be praying for our missionaries all together tonight. But they've said that their baby's a little colicky, so they're not sleeping very well, as those of you who have or have had newborn children know what that's like. So what I thought we would do is we want to pray for our missionaries since we're having a missions emphasis. And I thought it would be good for us to look at some of the things that the Apostle Paul said, hey, pray for me in this way, and how to pray. And then I asked some men this afternoon to come up and pray. So I will tell you that, so I'm going to ask Lou and then Tom and then Matt, and then Russ, if you come, and then I'll close for that. So, and we'll just also remember, I don't know if the whole griefs are online. Jim, I had asked, he had agreed to, but Heidi is right now getting an IV because she was a little dehydrated today. So we'll remember them as well. But there are five passages of scripture, again, that I want to look at that Paul had used. And one of them is in Romans 15. So if you want to turn there in Romans 15, and does everybody have the outline? Okay, if you don't, raise your hand, because Daniel has some. Okay, Daniel, if you want to give one to Mr. McCausland there, we'll, and Caleb over there. Not your brother, the other Caleb. But we're turning to Romans 15 while Daniel does that for me. Romans 15, verses 30 to 32. Like I said, each of these passages, Paul is specifically requesting for prayer, except for maybe the last one, which is in Hebrews, because we don't really know if Paul wrote that or not. But Romans 15, 30 to 32, Paul wrote to them, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in fervent prayers to God on my behalf. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, that my ministry in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, and that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed with you, or be refreshed together with you." And so in this passage, what we see here, Paul is asking them to pray fervently, striving. That's one of the ways that we should consider, are we striving in prayer for our missionaries? Paul's saying, hey, strive in prayer for me and for one another. Through the love of the Spirit is another thing that should characterize our prayers, and that it should be fervent to God. And so those are the ways in which we would pray, but notice the things that Paul tells them to pray. He tells them to pray that he would be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. And we believe that Paul was writing this on his way to Jerusalem after he had gone to Ephesus and was being told, hey, you're going to be bound by the man who owns this belt is going to be bound. And so here he is, he's asking them to pray that he would be delivered from them, knowing full well that it was God's will that he would be bound. So I don't know that he was praying that he would not be, that he would not be bound, but I think that he would be unbound as well by being delivered from them. So we need to pray that they would be free and rescued from the disobedient, because there's lots of hostile people out there. We see it some in our place, but nowhere near what the Apostle Paul faced, nowhere near what our brothers and sisters in places like North Africa and Muslim countries in the Middle East, Asia, China, they face a lot of persecution, and they can be thrown in jail for their faith. And so praying that they would be rescued from the disobedient. And then also he prayed that his work would be found acceptable to the saints. And I think that's referring to the saints in Jerusalem, because he wanted to go to be an encouragement to the believers there. And so he's saying, pray that I won't be bound, that I'll be delivered from the unbelievers so that I can be an encouragement to the saints. And so we want to pray that our missionaries would be encouragements to those who are believers, and pray that they won't be hindered in that. And then also that he would be come to you with joy and be refreshed together with you, so that there's this idea of fellowship as well. So not only would the saints be encouraged, but that the missionaries would be encouraged. So we pray that the churches in the places where our missionaries are at are encouraged, and that they would also be encouraged. And I think this is appropriate too for when they come home on furlough. Furlough is a pretty busy time. It's actually just stateside ministry for them as they go and visit the churches that have supported them, visit the people that have prayed for them and helped them in various ways and reported. And it can be busy and it can be hectic. And especially with young families where your children aren't always the most obedient, and sometimes you go to churches and you feel like there's a lot of pressure there. We want to pray that they would be refreshed and filled with joy as they come together with other believers. So that's Romans 15, 30 to 32. And the next passage is Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. Went a little too far. Paul writes to the Ephesian believers, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Find this interesting here. Paul is saying to pray at all times in the Spirit. So we are to pray in the Spirit. We are to pray directed by the Spirit. And how do we know how the Spirit directs us to pray? Are we praying according to the Word of God? Are we praying things that would be in line with what God's Word tells us God desires to happen? That would be praying in the Spirit with every prayer and request. So I think there Paul isn't saying just for missions, but he's talking about prayer in general. So in everything that you pray, pray in the Spirit, so it's not according to just our desires. And so I think a lot of what I would say is one of the best ways to put that into practice is to remember to pray, not my will, but your will be done. Because so often we want our will done, but it's really God's will that we want, because he knows what's best. And so we're to be alert, which we remember Jesus telling the disciples to stand up, right? To be alert and pray so that you won't fall into temptation. But here it's being alert and understanding the situation, the circumstances, so that you pray accurately, so that you pray poignantly or to the point. You pray with purpose and with what really needs to be prayed for, and with all perseverance. The idea is prayer. We don't do a prayer in the morning and then just, okay, I prayed my prayer, I'm done, I don't have to pray again. We pray continually, and we pray with perseverance. There are times when you pray that you need to keep praying for things. For instance, the salvation of souls. There's the story of Charles Spurgeon, whose mother prayed for him all his life. But he didn't come to Christ, if I'm getting the story right and not mixing it up with another guy, all his life. And he didn't come to Christ until after she had passed. And I keep thinking of my own grandmother, praying for her every day for so many years. We need to pray consistently and with perseverance. And then with intercession for the saints, praying for the needs of others. But here's the specific request that Paul says for himself. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So he's praying for, he's asking prayer for three things: utterance in the opening of his mouth. In other words, pray that I might know what to say, which I find ironic since he wrote a lot of the New Testament. He knows what to say, but he's praying. I think he wants prayer for the specific situation that he's in. Pray that I know what to say, that I would open my mouth. And then he says, pray to be bold in making that known. So, and this is the Apostle Paul who wrote in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. Pray that I be bold. I'm not ashamed, but pray that I be bold. Because he understands his physical weakness. He understands that he is human by nature, that he's tempted. And so he knows that he can't be bold apart from the Holy Spirit and apart from the work of God in his life. And neither can our missionaries. They can't be bold unless we're praying for them. And then the mystery of the gospel, speak in the way that to speak as he ought and to make it clear so that it's understandable to the people that he's talking to. Our missionaries come are in cultures that are completely different than ours. And unless you've been in another culture, it's not very easy to understand that there's different ways that you talk to people. You know, you can't do the same things that we do here in the States and be as effective in communicating. And so they need to know how and be observant of the culture and how do they put that into practice when they're sharing the gospel. And so let's pray that our missionaries know how to do that. And so those are the three things of utterance and being able to speak, being bold, and knowing how to speak and the right things to say. And if you turn over a couple more pages to Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 4, Paul writes to this church, devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. This again is Paul's prayer, or asking them to do it, to be praying alertly. And he adds, with thanksgiving. And what a wonderful thing to think we can pray with thanksgiving. There are so many things to be thankful for. First of all, when you look at yourself, when you look at your heart, do you really think that you deserve to go before the holy God and make any request? It's because of what Christ did on the cross, because of the beatings that he received that we talked about this morning, because of the nails in his hands, because of the shed blood that he laid down his life for us. That's why we can go. It's because of the mercy of God, the goodness of God, his uprightness. And so we can be thankful even while we're making requests, knowing that God is in control as well, and knowing that we have the promise that he causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him. That's another thing to be thankful for. And so we can be thankful when we pray, even when things aren't necessarily as pleasant for us or for others as we would like. And so here again, he's praying. He mentions a lot of the same things he mentioned in Ephesians, again, for open doors. Give me opportunities. Pray that there'd be opportunities. We need to be praying that our missionaries would have opportunities to share the gospel. And that's true for both those who we would call active because they're full-time and those who are retired. And just so you know, I have yet to meet one of our missionaries who's retired and isn't more active than not. Like the reason, if they're inactive, it's because they're physically incapable of doing anything. Okay, that's why they're inactive, if they're inactive. But because they love the Lord, because they want to serve, they want to see people come to Christ, they want to see people growing in Christ. And so they want opportunities to share the gospel, because it's the gospel that changes lives. And again, they want to speak, he wants prayer so that he can speak the gospel and for clarity in what he says. And then finally, or not finally, but next is 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Paul writes to this church, in addition, brothers, and this is in addition to strengthening their hearts and encouraging their hearts and being strong and good in the good work and in good word, speaking the truth. He says, in addition, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not all have faith. And so Paul's doesn't necessarily give them any instructions on the attitude of their prayer, but he does tell them, hey, pray that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly. Paul doesn't just want the word of God to go from one person today and then a couple more weeks from now to another person. He wants it to spread rapidly. He wants the whole world to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He wants the whole world to know that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so we can pray that where our missionaries are at and what they're doing, the word of the Lord would spread rapidly in there. And that it would be honored. Now, how does the word of God become honored? It becomes honored because not only is it spread to everybody, not only does everybody get to hear it, but there are people who respond. There are people who the Holy Spirit changes their hearts to receive it and to say, yes, I believe and I want to be a disciple of Christ. That's how it's honored. And it's honored when we who are believers obey the word of God, because we're saying, yes, that's the way to live in our obedience to it. And so that, and then he also asks that he would be delivered again from wicked and evil people. And so there is this idea of asking for protection. And Paul wasn't always delivered from evil and wicked people, at least from a human perspective. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was put in prison. So he did all these things, but he was praying that he would be delivered from them. I don't think Paul had any qualms of being beaten. He said it was a privilege to share in the sufferings of Christ. But that doesn't mean he didn't want to be delivered from them. In other words, he wanted to be kept alive, to share the gospel. Reminds me of a, since I have time, reminds me of one of the stories we're listening to on WGOJ, a Lamplighter book, where this one young man was captured in a Muslim country in Afghan, and he was beaten. And he had a companion who was trying to escape, and they had been captured and were held prisoner. The one man was a Christian, the other man was not. The man who was a Christian was beaten because he was asked to sing, and he sang a song, a gospel song. And that was an offense to the Afghans. And after he was beaten, and they were in the prison cell, his friend said, why did you sing, and how good is your God delivering you? Because he said, but God did deliver me. He delivered me because I didn't die. They didn't kill me. He kept me alive. And his whole point was he wanted to live to share the good news with even his enemies. And the way the story goes, now I think it's a fictional story, but the way the story goes is there's people who come to be saved, and he actually goes to school. He leaves the Afghans after several years and some number of converts. He leaves to get trained to go back and be their pastor. But the idea is this man had a desire to see people saved, and he was willing even to suffer for it. But he didn't want that to be the end. So let's pray that our missionaries, whatever they suffer, that they're able to be delivered from that, and that they're able to be delivered so that they can share the good news with others. And finally, a last passage we'll look at tonight is Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 18 and 19. Says the author of Hebrews, says, pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. And I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored to you very soon. And so here are some things that this author wanted prayer for. Was first of all, prayer for that he has a good conscience. He believed he had a good conscience. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, where he says, I'm not judged by you. I don't care what you're or by any court of men. I have a clear conscience, but even though my conscience is clear, I'm not acquitted by that. I'm judged by the Lord God. So let me turn to that so I make sure we're looking at that right. And understanding 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 3 says, it is of little importance to me that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I am not conscious of anything against myself, but I am not justified by this. It is the Lord who judges me. So don't judge anything prematurely before the Lord comes, who will both bring to light what is hidden in darkness and reveal the intentions of the hearts, and then praise will come to each one from God. So I think it's good that we would pray that our missionaries maintain a clear conscience, that they confess their sins, that they repent, and that they live rightly, especially in the culture that they're in, which is where I think the idea of conducting themselves honorably in everything, wanting to make sure that they don't do anything that's offensive to the people they're in the context that they're in. Waving your hand in some cultures is a taboo. It's not a good thing. If you show them the palm of your hand, it's an offensive thing. And so things that we would think are innocuous or small can become big. And so let's pray that they understand and conduct themselves honorably. And then finally, he says, pray that I may be restored to you very soon. I don't know if the author of Hebrews was in prison or not, but just the idea of wanting to be in fellowship with believers. And some missionaries are on front lines where there are very few believers, if any. And so when they come back to the States, it's good for them to be restored, to be encouraged. And so those are the things that we want to pray for them. So there's the idea of being rescued from unbelievers, and that the things that they do would be acceptable to believers, that it would be honorable before men, that they aren't offensive to people, that they live righteously with a clear conscience, that God gives them open doors, that God gives them the words to say, that he moves them to speak, and that they have the right words to say, and that it's clear. And then ultimately to pray that the word of God, because this is where people's lives are changed, it's the word of God that's spreading to people, and that's transforming lives. In other words, it's being honored. And so those are the things we want to pray for. And so I'm going to ask the men, if you would, one at a time, come up here for the sake of those who are on Zoom and for the microphone. And so if Lou would come, and then Tom, and then Matt, and then Russ, and then I'll come back up and close us.